Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
About an event that happened as an example for you today. Amen? The Old Testament puts a description of life and decisions in life. Not choices. Decisions in life for us today. In this passage, we're going to find some lessons and some truths that I want to share with you as God gives them to me. Is that all right this morning? I'm going to start at the fifth verse. It says, but when Ahab died, the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. So King Joram went out of Samaria at the time and mustered up all Israel. And he sent to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me to war against Moab? And he said, I will go. I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. Joram said, which way shall we go? And Jehoshaphat answered and said, the way through the wilderness of Edom. So the king of Israel went, the king of Judah and the king of Edom. They made a circuit of 7 days' journey, but there was no water for the army or the animals following them. Thank God that'll be enough this morning. That's the 2 Kings, the 3rd chapter, and the 5th through the 8th verse. This is an interesting topic that I preached this one time. It was called No Wind, No Rain, Just Water. But life has taught me something about the basic known truth of men and women. The basic known truth about men and women. My life job is to preach, but how I eat every day is I'm a social scientist. And working with people, I study the behavior and I extrapolate from conversation the motivation of behavior. And from the behavior, I'm able to medically diagnose a phobia or a health condition, a mental condition that I can then refer to a doctor that can prescribe medication, or a food specialist can prescribe food to make the chemical changes to affect the behavior. But even deeper than that, because I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher, and I understand something deeper than the natural science, I understand how God works. Come on, tell God thank you this morning.
Thank you.
I begin to understand that there is a basic truth that is learned by every human being that impacts their thinking and actions throughout their lives. Most of us in the African-American community, and from the beginning, most of the people I knew was raised up in the church. We probably didn't go all the time. We didn't grow up and be great church members, but we learned some basic truths that impact our decision-making. I'm going to get to my text in a minute. I just want you to understand where we're headed with this. So therefore, Paul said, I want to do good, but I can't. What is it that bothers him about not doing good? It is the basic truth he learned as a child. So therefore, the warfare becomes when we know that an issue is a sin, We wrestle with that because our intellect makes us want to override a learned and known basic truth. Do you understand that? We fight all the time trying to override what we know is the right thing to do. And it becomes a turmoil. Well, it gets worse than that. We become depressed. We begin to have anxiety because we know the truth. But because of our flesh, we contend to struggle with not obeying the word of God. Come on and tell him thank you this morning. So here we have the basis of the scientific makeup of every human being's behavior. I had my granddaughters this week. Lord help me. I had them every day this week. Nothing was ever enough. Nothing, not enough food, not enough fun, not enough. I think they called my name about easily 200-300 times. You know, there was so many fights. Just two kids. I'm not talking about a herd of kids. I'm talking about two. You saw them little girls? They made me so upset I called them little thugs before the day was over. But I began to understand they're doing what they learned how to do from me. From babies, I gave them everything I could give them. But I sent them home. I didn't give them everything and kept them there. I sent them home. So as the time went on, I began to understand that they need to do what they're going to do, and I need to do what I'm going to do. And what I'm going to do is be in charge. That makes sense? So, you know, I realized it was 80, 90 degrees, so y'all like them rooms? You can sit in them hot rooms all day if you don't want to cooperate with me. So the deal is that they knew what they were doing. The grandmother was laughing. Oh, you wanted them. You got them now. That's what she said. You wanted them. You got them. Then I get a message, a text message from above, their mama saying, no more candy. So I get to tell them no more candy. Oh, man, it was on. It was them having their way for so long that now that we got to do something different, the known truth is they know their mama said this, but they're going to take it out on me. The known truth in our lives conflicts with the flesh. So here we are. We are with this in the Bible here that this king was the son of the previous king, Ahab, who died, who worship the devil. And it says the son kept those truths that he knew, that his dad had taught him, in place. But his dad was, if you don't mind, gangstering the Moabs, taking a tribute every year. But when he died, the son thought he had the same power. And so the Moabs said, we're not going to pay this no more. This is the basis of this story, and I'm going to get into this because this is really, really, really. So then we get kinfolk religion. Y'all know what that is. He went and got all his kinfolk to go fight. Went and got all the cousins, and they swore truth. My people are your people, and my horses are your horses. You know, what I got, you got. But somebody held on to something they had as a child. Jehoshaphat knew something about, has anybody asked God about this? We sometimes go to make plans and get out there and go and don't ask God, is this the direction? And we get out there and we just saddle up and get out there with no water. Most of the time, not enough money. I watched so many businesses start out. I was watching this restaurant yesterday open up around the corner from my office. And the food is good. Service is lousy, but they're brand new. And they will grow. But they had 15 people on staff. And I'm saying, these eggs ain't gonna pay for all these folks. You know, they got a vision. They brought all these people out there. He brought all his horses, all the soldiers, brought all them people out there. I don't know if he got enough money to back it up. But the king, Jehoshaphat, let's go through a dry area. They didn't even bring no water with them. Do you see where I'm going with this? We get ourselves into a situation and forget to ask God, which we know we need to ask. Lord, is this what we need to be doing? I mean, why don't you ask him now until you get before you get out there strung out? Lord, how did I get here? God is so gracious, he ain't going to say, you fool, you know how you got here. You did this on your own. Does this make sense to you this morning? So these three kings, they march out there and they say, let's go through the dry area. They didn't have enough water for the cattle, the people, nor the horses. So what kind of shape was they going to be in when they got to the battle? What kind of shape are you going to be in when the tough time comes? What have you done spiritually to build yourself up for the tough time? You that have been saved for a long time, how are you fixed when God is not talking back? How can you handle it when you're praying and not get the answer? What have you done to prepare yourself for the battle? So he said, go get this preacher. And everybody said, we don't want to hear from Elisha. He don't do nothing to say what we don't want to hear. That's what one king said. Jehoshaphat said, well, listen, I know he knows God. See, one thing about a proven fact, a proven truth is a known truth. You don't have to make a guess or a choice. You can make a decision on data, information, experience. I have experienced and know God will deliver you. How do I know that? Because he delivered me. I have experienced and I know God can save. How do I know that? Because he saved me. I can say that with conviction because I've been through it. So Jehoshaphat said, go get the preacher. And sometimes y'all don't know why the preacher's here, but the preacher's here to give you some information. We don't look like much, and we really aren't. But we got all he got for this job. And you know what's so interesting, sidebar, is that when we get to heaven, ain't going to be no preaching. You know, that's the reason I be trying to sing with Sister Anna's Faye, because this is going to be praising. I'm practicing praising when we get to heaven. I ain't going to get up there and can't sing. Come on and tell God thank you this morning. It is a reality that the prophet of the Lord came and he looked at the set. And you know, this is interesting. We don't have the juice to say this. You know, I wouldn't be here this morning if Pastor Harold, who I really respect, hadn't invited me. Because, Annis Faye, you have always been a problem. This is what he told him. That's what he told. He told, the only reason I'm here is because of Jehoshaphat. I wouldn't look at you rascals. This is what he said. I wouldn't look at you except for him. And so this is the thing we have to understand. We have to find the right tradition to always include in our relationship with God. Man-made tradition is poisonous and creates toxic faith. But God traditions is what keeps us afloat. Am I making sense here? God's tradition is simple. Let's have some church. The preacher said, bring the minstrel. Let's invoke the presence of God in this situation. And when the word, when the music started and the praise started, and all of a sudden the preacher heard a word from God, then he spoke. Does this make sense to y'all this morning? I'm skipping down through this because this is an interesting story. You need to read this. I see this prophet respecting this king. And when it was time for him to speak, he said, I'm going to give you something impossible to look at. How many are going through some impossible things right now? God gave them to you. He gave them to you to see how you're going to operate. I'm going to tell you, the Lord told me to say, go make this dry brook, which was a dry river, a small river. I want you to go dig some trenches. This don't make no sense. This is a desert. Huh? I want you to go dig some trenches. And just wait on God. He said, for thus saith the Lord, shall not see wind or rain, yet the raven shall be filled, the ravine shall be filled with water. So your beasts and your cattle and your men shall have a place to drink. Now listen, if you don't know God, you ain't gonna dig no trenches. You understand what I'm saying? If you really don't know God, you cannot trust what the word of God is saying to you. And there you go. Lord, why won't you help me? You don't believe your help is waiting. I'm telling you this morning, you need to dig some trenches and watch God work a miracle right before your eyes. Come on and tell God thank you. This prophet had told them the truth. And they followed it because the king believed in a truth that he had learned as a child. You see where I'm going with this? You have the basic truth in you. But now you got to put your truth into action, which is faith. I believe God has a way out of every situation. He has a way for you, if you trust him, to see your way through till tomorrow. This is what I like about this lesson is that they didn't stay up all night looking at this dry bed with no water in it. They did not stay up all night. They dug their trenches and went to bed, and the next morning the water appeared. Matter of fact, the enemy saw the water before they did. You're going through because you're not operating with your faith. You're going through because you're not operating on your known truth. I can give you all kind of diagnoses. I could tell you, you know, we start using drugs and alcohol, 5.00 drug addiction, alcohol addiction, because we're medicating ourselves to ease the stress, to ease the anxiety, to ease the depression, because we're rebelling against the known truth of what God has given us. Now, if I want to get out of business, if I could give you a pill with the known truth and you accept it, I'd be out of business. But the devil has got you confused in understanding and believing that the word of God is not as valid as the reality of this world. This confusion has tormented men and women throughout history. Many a loss of life. Many a suicide, many a divorce. Everybody think divorce is getting even with each other. No, it's destroying the family and the children, which is the extension of tomorrow. Oh, come on and tell God thank you this morning. We walk around here with the truth at hand and ask God why. We walk around here watching the world go extremely crazy. Shooting airplanes. Don't give me no free trip on Malaysia Airlines. I told the wife, I said, well, baby, I'm thinking about getting you a vacation. I said, on Malaysia, no, you ain't taking me. You ain't sending me. Or if we go together. We have a known truth, Sister Anna Faye. The known truth is that Jesus saves, but he not only saves souls, he saves minds. He not only saves minds, he saves lives. He not only saves lives, he saves families. Not only families, but nations. If we hold on to what he gave us. Hallelujah, this morning. The known truth is embedded in us. But the cares of the world has tried to bury this down to make it not make sense anymore. Am I making sense this morning to you? Some of us. No, let's stop that. All of us. All of us got to wake up. And remember what your mama said. Remember what they said in Sunday school. And let me tell you this. You wasn't supposed to make it out the last trial you went through. But God. Had it not been for Jesus on my side, where would I be? I'm glad about it this morning. That one day, I woke up and started holding on to the truth of Jesus Christ. To the utmost, Jesus saves. Hallelujah this morning. We've been playing this game about being saved but still struggling with the world problem. But the word of God said we're in it but not of it. The devil can't hold you down. When the last time you said, I ain't gonna buy no gas? God always provide a way, don't he? Sister Hannah, don't he provide a way? I woke up with more months than I had money this month. And I told God, I said, okay, here we is. It's on you. I'm stepping back. I'm gonna watch this. I mean, to the point that the devil said, you're gonna close up. And I began to ask God, I said, well, you know, why would you spare my life? And why would you put me in this position if you wasn't trying to teach me something? And that's when he said, I want you to look at the blesser instead of the blessing. Jehoshaphat said, have we heard from God? When's the last time you heard from God in your life? When's the last time you got sick and tired of being sick and tired? Disappointment after disappointment, let down, breakdown. Oh God, debts, people lying to you, loss of money. And this is a big one for us men, embarrassment. Let me describe embarrassment. Embarrassment is when your word means nothing, even though you mean what you say. Does that mean something to you? Embarrassment means, baby, I'll buy you this when this check comes, but this check never shows up. Huh? You don't want to be embarrassed. But then we begin to understand it's not about you no more. I had to tell God this week, it ain't shame on me. It's shame on you. Because you told me. And I've been faithful in what I'm doing. If there's a new memo out, you want me to change up, I didn't get it. Text it again. So I can change up and get with the program. If it's time to shut this puppy down, let me saddle up and get my stuff out of here. You understand what I'm saying? You better stay in touch with God and let him talk to you. Has anybody heard from the Lord in your situation? Has anybody just stopped and say the old song, James Cleveland, have you stopped and prayed this morning? Have you asked him while you're on your way? Have you asked him just to guide you? Somebody needs some guidance. Because an idea without God's sanction ain't nothing but a good idea. I don't care how much money the bank lend you, it ain't gonna be enough. Huh? I don't care how many songs you sing in the church, if you're not singing with joy, it ain't gonna be enough. You got to have his purpose be your purpose. Amen. Hallelujah this morning. Jesus Christ himself recognized his purpose. And in heaven, God said, we need an example. And Jesus said, prepare me a body. God said, but we got to make this example of sacrifice. And Jesus said, I'll go. He come here through 42 generations. was taken captive and betrayed with people that he exposed himself to. Come to this point in life where he could have said, I'm not Jesus. Huh? Because his flesh was asking, why do I have to go through this? He already knew he was a God and man. But in the garden, he said, I'm Jesus. They took him to court after court and beat him all night long. Finally, the judge said, I find no fault in him. You do with him what you wish. He was then tied to a cross that he had to drag up Golgotha Hill. And as he drove this cross up, the cat of nine tails beat him every step of the way. He gets it into the place, and the cross was there, and they nailed him to the cross. But my Bible had told me already, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. Now, see, that's where they made their mistake. They lifted him up, dropped that cross in the socket, and ever since then, men and women and boys and girls have been talking about Jesus on the cross. Hallelujah this morning. This same Jesus was taken down and pierced in his side, bled for you and I, beaten for our healing, died for our sins, that we might have a choice to live like him. Come on and tell God thank you. Buried in a borrowed grave. Now this is what I begin to understand. The women went and found him. And they went back and told Peter and John. But as they found him, it did not become gospel until Peter showed up, walked into the tomb, looked at the grave, saw the napkin folded neatly in the corner, saw the wrappings on the floor. And then he told John, you come in here, let me tell you something. This is the resurrection. He made it the gospel when he declared Jesus was not taken from here. He left here on his own. Now, this has bothered me. I got this. He says, Lazarus had to have the disciples to come and unwrap him. But Jesus, who unwrapped Jesus when the bedclothes were taken off? Now, I wasn't there when he was seen by the 500. He rose again, but I wasn't there when they saw him by the water. But I was there when he rose in me one day. And to this day, I'm telling you, I'm so grateful that he died. And I'm so grateful that I believe that he's coming back again. I know he's coming back again, church, looking for you and I without a spot or wrinkle. This is the day that the Lord has made. Yes, you're going through something, but the power of God worketh in you. You can change your situation by just trusting God this morning. How many need a change today? How many need tomorrow to look brighter? How many need God to do something for you? Mama, daddy, sister, and brother can't do it. I need Jesus. Come on and tell God thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need Jesus this morning, church. We need to tell him. He already knows. He's just waiting for you to tell your gospel. Explain your truth. I laid six people off this week. But God told me to do that. And when we laid them off, I said, we'll bring you back in 10 days. Now, it was interesting. Most people get laid off, be angry. Everybody is saying, we'll be back in 10 days, Pastor. It's a truth that they know that has been demonstrated. That if you live truthfully in front of folks, they'll trust and believe in you. You understand? But it's not me, it's the God that sent me. This morning, I'm going to leave you with this and nothing else. Hold on to your learned truths about God. He can do it all. He can fix it. He can turn the necks of the people that's got the decision making. How many need a favor this morning? How many need a breakthrough this morning? He is the one. Ooh. This is the thing I like about it. You know, young Pastor Franklin, I laugh at him sometime because he got all the energy. And I was thinking about John and Peter running to the gravesite. And the Bible said John outran Peter. And the first thing I thought about him, no, he going to outrun me. But look at what happened. When he got to the gravesite, John had to wait on Peter because Peter had the experience. Peter had to go in there and describe what he knew to be true. Does this make sense? When we begin to know what we know to be true, we are operating on wisdom, not instinct. Instinct means, why am I going to a gravesite? But what we know to be true, Jesus rose. And he's rising in us today. Now, the other thing I'm going to say before I take my seat. If you are not ready to meet God in a final situation, you need to make up your mind that I am out of the ark of safety. I am doing things that's against my known truth about a relationship with God. I'm sorry, intellectual faith doesn't work. Intellectual faith is when I can smell it, touch it, and taste it, then I'll believe in it. Relationship faith is, I know what I know what I know. I can't explain it, but I know what God can do. If you're running around struggling internally because you're going against the Christ that you know and the word of God that has been taught to you as a child, I suggest to you today that you make a decision right now. I'm going to make a change. I'm going to make a change because I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of having it and losing it, having it and losing it. Lord, what must I do? Well, first of all, you got to believe God is. Else none of this is going to make sense to you. Does this make sense to you right now? If you don't believe God really, really is a God, nothing we've said this morning, no song that's been sung, is going to make any sense to you. The word this morning is, you need to surrender all to him. And then it's not just surrendering the immediate need, it's surrendering all to him. Lord, take care of this. You know, I got problems. We sit and laugh at each other. I got so many problems. Everybody want to sue me. Everybody want to take something from me. But one thing that I know, what my Bible said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And then he said something particular to all of us. Touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. Somebody is going through something and you want God to stand up as a banner. You need to stand up for him right now. And just say, Lord, come on, let me do something for you as you do something for me. This is an intimate request. I want you to take my hand, Lord. You got to change me in this situation because I'm angry most of the time. I can't get nothing done because I'm blaming everybody. Because I'm hurt most of the time. I'm disappointed most of the time. This is your chance. Will you stand with me, please? Everybody that can. This is your chance to make a move to where we surrender it all and stop and step out of the have not into the have. Old song that he used to sing, my father is rich in houses and land. He holds the key in the palm of his hand. Rubies and diamonds and silver and gold. I am a child of God wherever I go. This is what you got to understand. If you're going through something, it's because you want to. Because you're not letting it go. You got to let it go. Close your eyes with me, please. That Disney song that my baby sings so horribly. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. God is looking to do something for you, but you got to let it go. Give me your sadness and I'll give you my joy. This is his promise to you today. Lord, I surrender to you, Lord Jesus. I surrender to you that this place, this particular time, this moment, I've heard the word of God. And I surrender all my problems, all my cares, all my shortcomings. Lord, they're on you right now because you said you would do the caring for me. In the name of Jesus. Not only am I Christ, a Christian, but I'm Christ-like. I plan to live for you. I plan to call on your name so that when people see me, they'll know that you're in me. In the name of Jesus. Lord, make a move in this place right now. Move right now. Move right now. Right now. Right now. Come on and say, come on, Lord Jesus. Come on, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, move in me right now. Ah. Ah. He's staring right now. Somebody's thinking about him, but haven't figured out how to let go. Right now, right now. In the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I surrender all. I surrender all to you. In your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.